Hi everybody, welcome to Bucks UK TV. It's episode 127, and sad to say, it's the last of our regular season of podcasts. Gary, Wayne, David, we're all here to toast to the Buccaneers. And Gary, we're just saying, you know, what a fantastic year. But let's start off first of all talking about the Detroit game. Obviously, not the outcome we wanted, but not a bad representation by the Bucks.
No, definitely not. I think they showed up. They made it competitive, didn't they? I think they did fantastically well to overcome the noise. It was clearly the crowd were going absolutely bonkers. So how on earth you call an offense in you know when that sort of noise is going on? So yeah, they did really, really well. And the one thing that I took out of that game yesterday was every single play matters, doesn't it? Every single individual play. You know, how different a game is it if Mike Evans catches that first pass? How different a game is it if Jamel Dean catches that interception? And, you know, obviously the last interception as well. So we were competitive. The Lions were just that little bit better, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think actually you talk about those individual plays, Wayne. I think we were talking on the forum last night in what was the by far the largest forum thread of the year. The three sacks on Baker Mayfield, the sort of the ones where they got home without anyone really being there or able to protect. They were pivotal as well, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, and I was surprised that they came that cleanly. Normally, you see someone in the area that misses something. They just came straight off the edges, completely untouched. You know, all right, we complain that Baker maybe holds on to the ball too long. He didn't have a hope in hell with those three sacks. He barely caught his breath before they were driving him into the turf. Like you say, they were big plays, but we regrouped from them, and that was the thing that was nice to see. You know, right there up to the third quarter, we were in it. It was only that fourth quarter that really got away from us.
And even then, there was always that chance of a comeback, wasn't there? But I guess 23 points is probably not where you want to be to win yourself a playoff game. But other than the points, it felt like the offense did everything they could apart from points. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think they did. We moved the ball. We had the good mix of run and the pass. We had, you know, 5.6 yards a carry, I think it was, or something. So that's
5.9, I would say. 5.9, just guessing.
Yeah. Sorry. So we were moving the ball when we were moving it, but then something would happen that would just stop it in its tracks. Penalties, inopportune moments, a couple of interceptions, obviously. But other than that, I thought we did really well for moving the ball.
Yeah, and David, at the end there, some of us were thinking, could we get overtime? Could we equalise? Let's pick up the going for two thing. Now, I know the commentators were talking a lot about analytics, but a lot of the social media I've seen since has been questioning or reinforcing. It seems like, you know, we thought Brexit was divisive, but actually going for two is much more controversial.
Yeah, I think if we know that we've got a good red zone offense and we've consistently been able to get it in on short yardage through the season, then statistically it's the thing to go through. But that's not been how the Bucks play. And that's very reminiscent of the game last night in. We could move the ball down the field, but we couldn't finish off drives. So, yeah, I thought it was a very dicey play anyway. I would have definitely taken the point and moved it into one standard score. Yeah, I mean, you go for it, don't you? You take the chances, and yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's, you know, it's, everything's very easy in hindsight to make comments on that. We went for it, we didn't get it. We still had a chance with the ball in our hands at the end of the game, and it just didn't happen, did it?
Players for you, though, standout performances?
I mean, I think as normal, Baker actually showed his absolute heart out there. I think he's grown and grown throughout the season with his team. Clearly, everybody in the Buccaneers dressing room loves him. He's, you know, a clear leader, plenty of passion, plenty of heart. he gets everybody wound up on the sideline. So, I mean, he's been just a massive plus for the season already. Mike Evans, a little bit hit and miss. I mean, he's got the most, he got the most yards in a playoff game ever for the Buccaneers. Was it 146 odds? 147. But actually, equally, he missed some absolute drops as well. But, you know, he's still a player, isn't he? I think. And the running game we touched on, that was probably the best running game we've had all season. We definitely caused some trouble there. And if anything, I think I'd have probably liked to have seen us keep going, pushing that a little bit more as well. Because, again, the more you run on it, the more it opens up the backfield. And I thought the one time really when all season we've been pushing the run and running, it's not been working. Actually, this was a time to perhaps even do it a little bit more, but we didn't. We head off and went to the air. But I'm not going to really moan about this season. It's been a triumph, really, from where we started. So.
Yeah, well, we'll come and talk about the season, the players. But one more interview for you, Gary, in terms of standout players or people that you think, you know, deserve a shout out from the Bucks.
Well, just to reiterate what Dave said, Baker Mayfield. He doesn't leave anything on the field, does he? He just goes for it every single time. Rashad White really showed up. I don't think we got a phenomenal number of yards in terms of rushes. I don't think we even hit 100.
No.
But because we didn't run it very often, did we?
Mm-hmm. 15 carries.
But, you know, it was probably the best he's run this season. He had several 7, 8, 9 yard rushes, and we'd have killed for that, you know, earlier on in the regular season. So definitely him. On defense, Levante, of course. The guy's phenomenal. You know, he's 95 years old and he's still doing all these, what he does. I do hope he comes back next year. I really do.
If not, you can join Bucks UK and be one of the youngies.
Hardly every day.
Wayne, on the flip side, obviously there were some not necessarily poor performances, but maybe underperformances. I think, you know, for me, for example, I think Devin White would be one. I think, and I don't necessarily blame Devin White. I think whatever the game plan was, it clearly wasn't going to revolve around him. But from your perspective, Wayne, kind of anyone that you thought, oh, if we'd have played that game again, I would have tried to have got them a bit more involved.
I thought Antoine Winfield Jr. was unusually quiet.
Yep.
Devin White, not so much. We haven't really seen him for the last sort of 2-3 weeks. Mm. JTS wasn't really involved, but then again, same story. I haven't seen him for a few weeks. I think the ones that I think underperformed the most from what I saw were our secondary as a whole. Mm. Their receivers were wide open in the middle of the field. We were so soft. I think at one point the commentators picked up, you know, that as soon as they snapped the ball, the linebacker sprint back 15 yards and Goff just went, well, I'll have that. You're not going to keep them to under 10 yards if you're 15 yards from the line of scrimmage. But then again, that's been the story for a long while, the soft zone coverage and big cushions.
I mean, it was interesting because the Bucks had more yards than the Lions. The Bucks had slightly more plays, but actually, you know, so actually the Bucks were getting more per play than the Lions. Yeah, again, psychologically, maybe it's just because we're all masochistic Bucks fans. It felt like the Lions were moving the ball a little bit better. And you say there's that. I mean, Laporta clearly just killed us, didn't he?
Yeah, I think, all their... anyone receiving was in that boat. You know, they literally had to get beyond the line of scrimmage, and there was open field wherever they went. There was always someone that was wide open. I don't know whether it's blown coverages, missed assignments, or just that's the way they're coached to play, which is, you know, we're desperately trying to stop the big play. But we're going to quite happily let them dink and dunk. It was a short yardage game, but if you let them do that all game, then they don't need the big play.
And I guess let them do that versus can't stop them doing that. We probably need to give the Lions some credit. It felt like, again, on the forum, we were all saying, get the pressure, we've got to get pressure. If you get pressure on Goff, he'll crumble. But we couldn't get pressure, could we?
No. The only way to get pressure on Goff is to blitz him, or it seems to be with our team, the only way we get pressure is to blitz, and that just leaves more holes in the behind them. That's the problem.
Because the commentators were talking about the Lions blitz, but actually they were just sending five, and they were stunting, and often we had a running back in, so often it was their five against our six, and someone still got there. So yeah, okay. So we will gloss over the Detroit game. We'll move on. But David, as you said, reflections on a season where I would say the media and the popular expectations were not getting to the second round of the playoffs. This year for the Buccaneers, how would you sum it up?
I mean, incredibly positive, incredibly proud of this team. I mean, you know, we came out last season incredibly full of doom and gloom. Brady had gone, we didn't have a quarterback. We had a massive salary cap issue. We expected it to be the start of many years of rebuilding. Obviously, before the start of the season, we'd surprisingly managed to keep a number of key players, which we didn't think we'd be able to do. And I think collectively, I think the group of us, we were all quite optimistic about the season. I thought we certainly didn't think we were a 30th ranked team in the NFL going into the start of the season. We started off great, but then hit a bit of a slump, which things didn't look great for a while. But collectively, you know, overall this season, come out, we've won a division, we've won a playoff game, we pushed the divisional game really close. There's a hell of a lot of teams in this NFL league that didn't get close to achieving what we did this year. Nothing but praise for it. And, you know, we look at the future, and this was meant to be step one of a massive rebuild. We're probably already on step five or six already. So really promising. And you've got to come out of this thinking, actually, yeah, this was a good season.
Yeah, in many ways, supporting the Bucks is a seven-step program. I think we all know that's true on game day. Gary, I think, as David said, there were some highs and lows throughout the year. It felt like we came out of the tracks fast, really hit the doldrums, to the point that a lot of people were questioning the coaches, questioning the owners, questioning the players. I mean, it's hard to have a cold take the day after a playoff loss. But kind of, you know, where on the spectrum? So David said, clearly we're not 30th in the NFL. I suspect probably putting us in the top five is possibly a bit ambitious. What are the real Bucks at the moment?
Well, I mean, the expression I used on this podcast a few weeks ago was mid-table mediocrity. Mm. I think we're a bit better than that, to be honest. In fact, I had a bet with a good mate of mine who's a Bears fan. And I said we would be in the top 10 overall. And I was basing that on the fact that I was convinced we would win the division. So I've got a meal out as my prize for that. So he said we'd be 27th or lower. But he was basing it on what all the pundits were basing it on, which is Baker Mayfield's rubbish. Well, Baker Mayfield was the first overall pick. He's not rubbish. He's clearly shown that this year. So, you know, I'm wildly optimistic for the future. And I just hope we can keep, you know, the core of the team together for the, well, next year at least. You know, the Mike Evanses, the Baker Mayfields, Levantes, Devon White, I'll pay for his taxi to the airport if he's obviously short the bob or two. Ryan Neal, I've never seen anybody more embarrassing on a football field than Ryan Neal. He can go. But I think for the future, I think the arrow is trending upwards.
That is good. You
know, I think it's really good coming out this season. It's actually, I think we're really clear on those players we want to keep and those we want to let go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think actually we've got real direction about where we need to build.
And actually, I think Wayne, as David said, it's not a rebuild, and it's the most cliched, overused phrase now. It's a reload. I hate it. I can feel a little bit of vomit rising in my throat even as I say it. But does feel that way. I mean, for me personally, Kenny Britt, I think, has been a revelation. I think he's the reason, Gary, that you're probably happy to see Devin White go. You know, a bit like Donovan Smith. It's all very well. cheering someone out the door, but if there's no one behind them on the depth chart, you know, sometimes you're better off with who you've got. But Wayne, kind of, who is it that you think is going to be carrying the torch for some time for these Bucks?
I think we've done really well in the last draft, or maybe two. Yaya Diaby seems to have been an absolute revelation this year. I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Fancy.
Yes. Yeah. Like you said, we've busted on some of them in the past, but we seem to have come up with some real gems this year, and they've all sort of gotten. And like you say, you know, we've got a good core, if we can keep them there, of good players. So we've got the we've got Trey Palmer that can then sort of take over from Mike Evans and Chris Godwin in the fullness of time. So we've got the skill there and the depth in some of the key positions as well, I think. So
if we were some jazzy show, we'd have a buy or sell animation now at the moment and tell you who's everything. But David, so Wayne's mentioned Mike Evans. Do we want to pay him? Can we afford to pay him?
Yes.
That's a hard one, isn't it?
That's the right answer.
One. I mean, is he equivalent to Mark Noble for West Ham, isn't he? He's a one-club man. He's everything about the Buccaneers, and I think it's a statement that we keep him at the Buccaneers.
Yeah. Gary, Baker Mayfield, do we want to keep him? Can we afford to keep him?
We absolutely need to keep him. I think we can afford. There's a really good article on Pewter Report at the moment about how we can make, you know, the salary cap work next year. We're not in the Caleb Williams, Drake May sweepstakes. We're drafting 26 now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to give up a king's ransom to move up in this in the draft, don't you? So we're not going to get one. Will Baker Mayfield take us to the promised land of the Super Bowl? I don't know. But he's shown this year that he's pretty good, and we need to keep him. And hopefully, if he comes back, Mike Evans will come back as well. That's and you know, the question you asked, Dave, can we afford Mike Evans? We pay him whatever he wants. He's the beating heart of that team.
Yeah, and I think they said in the press conference afterwards, if he's back, I'll be back. And I think that's how it's going to work. For me, I think you know, we've done the whole drafting number one overall on a quarterback, and it's such a
several times.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah, and then before as well, you know, Vinny.
Yeah.
Vinny Testaverde. I was going to say Vinny Testaverde.
Unfortunately, the problem is because the money and, dare I say it, the coaching prestige that you have invested in that pick, you can't get away from it. You know, I think we probably all knew Jameis might not be the long-term answer, possibly not even the short-term answer, but that was 5 years worth of Buccaneers football that you had to kind of put up with. And I think with Vivini, they didn't have the fifth-year option, did they, in those days? But it was certainly 4 years worth of Testaverde. Yeah. And clearly, you know, there were, you know, Jameis is still in the league. Vinny's hung around for a very long time too. But they weren't what the expectations were. I feel with Baker, again, it's a bit cliche. The ceiling may not be as high as you want, but I think the basement's, you know, the floor is probably higher than you're going to get with a lot of other picks. I think, you know, the other player that I thought of, dare I say, with a fondness, but Wayne, what about Ryan Jensen? So we just don't know what he's going to be like come next year, do we? Do we think we'll see him again?
I don't think we will. I thought they were saying at the beginning of the year that because of the treatment regime he chose, it's basically he's never going to get up to fit enough now to play in the NFL. But he is talking about hanging around as a coach, which I believe is what he's been doing this year anyway. Mm. So we won't lose the experience of that. But I don't. Unfortunately, it's nice to have that sort of kill mentality. Mm. But
I think he needs to be on the pirate ship replacing Ric Flair at every game.
Yeah. I mean, I think you look at it, Baker is sold on. You've got Evans. Godwin is an interesting one, actually, to see. He's probably on the bubble, if any of the receivers are. You've got Palmer. Dave Moore came in. He's a bit of a veteran, really, but, you know, he can definitely do a business. Some youngsters. I think the running game, I think Rashad White is going to stay. Edmonds showed touches of good stuff, and he was clearly above Keyshawn Vaughan, who they binned.
Yeah, halfway through the year. You've got to go out your way to get cut half year with mid year.
Yeah, so all the focus on offense has got to be the line still.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we've got three quality tight ends again that all showed up. So everything we look at on offense has got to be about that line still and keep building that and that up in that protection level.
Yeah.
And then on the defensive side of the ball, David?
Well, again, pass rush, because actually, you know, we tried and came and we didn't get close, did we?
No.
I mean, the numbers for Shaq Barrett dropped.
That's what I was going to say. Do we think we've seen Shaq? Will Shaq be around next year, do you think? Obviously, the guy had tremendous things to deal with off the field, and I think everyone gets a pass for that. But also, he's no spring chicken anymore.
No, definitely. And, you know, the JTS every week discussion. I think, you know,
well, the commentators love JTS. I don't know who they've been watching, but it's not the Bucks.
Yeah, so, you know, rushing is we need people that can come in and get to the quarterback. Again, you know, we said before, Kancy and Jarvie have been brilliant for us, and we just need to build on that as well.
So I can already feel some Kuiper-esque mock draft challenges about how we can try and juggle everything to get either a game-changing edge rusher or an anchoring lineman at, was it 26th day, Gary, isn't it?
26.
So seventh from bottom. They don't tend to be many of the blue-chip players, but people like the Patriots, you know, obviously we're a year in, year out of the drafting at that sort of position and made it work. Maybe we need to dial up Bill Belichick and get him in the draft room.
Well, look at the... I mean, we'll look at the whole draft that we had last year, all the way down. Everyone contributed.
Yeah.
Although it's flipped, like maybe everyone contributed because they had to contribute.
But they delivered. Yeah. They didn't just get a game on the field. They actually were full part of a well-performing team.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree. I think... I forgot what I was going to say, so carry on.
Well, the next player I was going to move on to, Will Golston. So I think after Lavonte David is probably the longest tenured Buccaneer, I think, on the roster. Yes. I might not be exactly right. Gary, again, we love these players and we want them to play forever, but no one can.
Will Golston's one of my favourite players. He always engages with us when we're outside the stadium. He's been fantastic chatting to us and pictures and autographs, you name it. He will forever live in the memory of chasing Patrick Mahomes to that play in the Super Bowl.
Horizontal Patrick.
Absolutely. The problem is he's never been a pass rusher. He's a good run stuffer. He's very much on the wrong side of 30. I don't think he'll be back, if I'm honest. Logan Hall picked up a bit taking that position. But, you know, it's pass rush is what we need. We've got the defensive tackles. We need someone to get home and put the quarterback on his backside.
Yeah, Logan Hall, Kancy and Vita Vea, I think, is a pretty sharp-looking defensive line. Absolutely. And actually quite a young one still.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Shaq Barrett is the interesting one, as you mentioned earlier. We owe him a lot of money, whether he plays or not. Mm-hmm. He had that devastating injury last year, remember? I mean, you don't come back from the torn Achilles very easily. Mm. I never expected him to do anything this year. And then with his family tragedy, you know, that must have impacted him as well. If he comes back, I actually think he'll be better next year than he was this year.
That's interesting. Because in my head, I kind of compared it to the JPP situation where kind of, I was like, oh, are we sure about this? Do we really want to get rid of him? But clearly, I mean, the fact that we're bouncing around the league and not really making masses of impact, or, you know, a few appearances, a couple of splash plays. But I think the consensus overall was that was probably the right time to let him go. But with Shaq, I agree, it's not as straightforward. There were still some times, it felt like yesterday, where he was around the ball. And contributing, although didn't really get a massive stat line.
No, he did have that one sack where he chased him down from behind. Mm. I mean, the thing is, if he's not there, who's in his place? We haven't got the cap room to pay big money for a big free agent signing. You might get one in the a pass rusher in the draft, but you know you need somebody out there. I hope to goodness it's not JTS. And if I'm right and Shaq Barrett is better next year than he was this year, you know, then that will help or go a long way to help him.
Now, Wayne, we touched on this a little bit around the coaching merry-go-round. Where we were in the middle of the season, there was lots of grumbles, myself probably included, I'm happy to admit it. I'm assuming, and back, help me here if you disagree, has Todd Bowles done enough to keep his job?
I think he probably has. Like you just said, at the beginning of the season, everyone was, oh, we've got to get rid of Todd Bowles, and then we won 3 out of the first 4 games, and everyone's like, oh, hang on a minute, because no one expected to be 3-1 after the first quarter. So suddenly it's, oh, actually, no, this is really good. And we went on the bye week, and then we had a 5 or 6 game loss, and that hot seat was practically on fire. It was, you know, he could do no right. And they were even talking of calling for Canales' head as well at the same time. And then we turned it around and started winning. And so, you know, we had a couple of really cracking games towards the end of the year, one that we squeaked in. And they always seem to say, you've got to improve each year. Did we get to the second round of the playoffs last year? I can't remember now.
We lost to Dallas.
Because we sort of struggled to get in. We have done that. We have improved. And the team does look to have life. And I think the other thing is the players like him. The players actually really like playing for him.
I think that was really important. Again, I mentioned one of the previous podcasts about the Raheem Morris debacle in his last year at the club where it was clear that the players weren't buying into whatever Raheem Morris was saying or doing or asking of them. And actually, interestingly, Raheem Morris might have come of age again. He's in a lot of the head coaching conversations, and a lot of people are saying he's ready to have another shot at this. But it felt like Todd Bowles has never really been into that in that category, even though we were in the doldrums.
Yeah, well, Raheem was very young when he was our head coach, wasn't he? And like you say, when he came back from London, and you started hearing the rumours that half the team had gone on for a night out and completely missed curfew and things like that. And then you watched the game, and it was very, very obvious that they weren't giving it 100% and they didn't care. And at that point, you knew he was gone. But like you say, with Todd, he doesn't seem to have lost the locker room. They all seem to still enjoy playing for him. They still have high regards. And you listen to what's said in the pressers, and they all say, you know, he's very very little emotion on the sideline, as we know. But behind closed doors, he's a very different, very emotional, personable person.
Yeah, I think he's healthily sceptical about, you know, what's inside the building versus what's outside the building. Yeah. And there's plenty of good coaches that have had that philosophy. David, let's talk about your namesake, Mr. Canales, because I'm less sold on him. I don't know whether it's the game that he calls, his playbook, or what he's being told to do by the organisation. What do you think on him?
Well, I think he's learning on the job as well. You know, it's his first time as an offensive coordinator. He didn't know the players he had. I mean, you know, obviously he had a bit of pre-season with them, but he was stepping into a whole new environment. He didn't understand how the franchise operated, the players he had, play calling. I think he's grown, definitely. And I think, you know, we've got more adventurous as the season's gone on, which has actually, you know, taken us into the playoffs. Interestingly, I see he's had second interview today as Atlanta Falcons head coach, which I think is another crazy step, perhaps too far. But
Well, it's a bit like the Raheem Morris thing. I think when someone gets hot, you know, what we really wanted was Raheem Morris moving from the secondary coach to defensive coordinator, and someone was going to grab him, and we thought he was the next big thing. So we said yes to head coach, didn't we? I think that's probably how it went, and I can see something similar.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've said that we're on the up at the minute. We're building, we're well ahead of program. There's a good feeling within the organisation. And very much part of it is you want to keep the band together, don't you, in those situations. And I think just from a momentum perspective, it would be a loss to actually lose him just for the whole way that the franchise is moving at the minute.
Cool. So we will finish with the... Well, Dave, first of all, I will come to you for a club update at the end, because 2024 is going to be a very special year for Bucks UK. But before then, I want the stupidly early predictions for the 2024-2025 season. What's our record going to be? Are we going to win the division? Are we into the playoffs? Gary?
Yes, we'll win the division. Yes, that means we're in the playoffs. But the caveat is, have you seen the schedule for next year? Or not the schedule, obviously, but have you seen the teams we are playing next year? It's, you know, I hope, I really hope that this, the NFL's policy of wanting to get the good teams better and the better teams worse, so you get that sort of equilibrium. I hope that happens next year. And teams like San Francisco and Baltimore and Detroit drop a little bit, because they're all on our schedule next year. So I think we can win the division, no question.
And how many wins? I'm going to push you. I'm going to hold you to it as well.
How many? Well, because of the schedule, I'd love to see an improvement to 10, but because of the schedule, I can't see it. So I'm guessing 9-8 again.
9-8. So we're hoping the rest of the NFC South does something to the bed that they probably shouldn't do again, and and we're all right in that. Wayne, what's your way too soon take?
Well, I think if we keep the key players and we have Canales hangs around, then we're the second year into a system. I think they'll be much better. There won't be the sort of 3-4 weeks bedding in at the beginning of the year. I can see us going 10-7.
So the division lead, division title?
God, yes. Well, you got, of course, you know, look at the other teams in the division.
Race to 10 going on over there. And lastly, then, David, what's your way too soon predictions?
Yeah, I mean, the division, I mean, the Saints have got an even worse salary cap situation. I mean, they're in dire trouble. Atlanta and Tampa's are both on rebuild. And they're two steps behind us. So I think certainly the division we're in for. The schedule looks, as Gary says, pretty scary. But it's, in recent years, it's amazing how the top teams from previous season have fallen off a cliff. I mean, look at the Eagles this year.
Yeah,
and I don't think there's anything to be scared of. We're on the up. Well, I think a lot of those teams at the minute could be potentially dropping down. So, you know, I'm keen. Let's go for 11 wins and get out there and do the business. And once you get to play football, who knows?
Anything's possible. As we've shown, yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. You know, I'm going to say 10 wins.
I mean, who would have had Detroit at the start of the season?
Well, yeah. So, not even Detroit fans, probably.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm going to say 10 wins. I think it's player football. My way too soon prediction is Baker Mayfield in the Pro Bowl next year. I think he will build upon his performance this year. I think the balance of conservative to dangerous plays is strong. And I think actually what's clear is from the when you're talking to the commentators and the game previews, everyone else around the league, even, you know, a bit like Brady, obviously, but not as much as Brady, everyone is now associating Baker and the Buccaneers. And I think, and actually, he's quite a high profile player. You know, being a number one pick is well known. His story, it's a nice comeback redemption story, so it makes good headlines. So I think, because you need the popularity to make the Pro Bowl, but I think he's going to have the performance to back it up. That's my way too soon prediction. You guys at home, though, let us know what you think the way too soon prediction should be, and also who you think is on the bubble and does and doesn't make the roster. But David, let's come back to you. So 2024 is a big year for Bucks UK.
Yeah, it is. It's our 40th anniversary, so we're the longest running UK NFL fan club,
none
which
of us
we're
were born
incredibly
then.
proud of. So yeah, we're incredibly proud of that, and absolutely we've got to celebrate that. So we've got a number of activities lined up. We've obviously got our summer AGM, which we have every year, and a cornhole championship, which grows every year and is great fun. Then we're going to have a game watch in London, which is going to be sort of bigger and better than the ones we've had previously, where we'll be looking to have a proper dinner. And then there's the tour to Tampa. So all Bucks UK fans, you want to get as many of you out there as you can. Brian Ford and the Bucks team are desperate to see us out there and we're going to have a huge event. We'll be having a dinner. We'll be having tour of Advent Health Facility at One Buck, tour of the stadium, obviously watching the game. And I think there'll be a few surprises on the tour trip as well. So
fantastic.
It is going to be a huge year for Bucks UK.
And if you at home watching this, listening to this, you're in the UK and you're a Bucks fan and you're not a member, why on earth not? If you want to be a part of all of that and to get the limited edition 40th anniversary Bucks UK patch, I've seen it, it's a thing of beauty, and the weekly prize competitions and the fantasy football and the eliminator competitions with the fantastic prizes, you know, and for only £7.50 for the whole year. And that's the price of a patch if you're buying it from anywhere else. So the rest of it comes in free. Get yourselves over to bucksuk.org and click on join and be a part of it alongside the other, I think about 450 of us that decided we're crazy enough to like the Bucks and stay up until 1 in the morning to watch them. So that draws a line under the year for now. We will be back soon with our annual awards. Our members will be voting as they do every year. It's the awards chosen by the members. There'll be the offensive, defensive, rookies, line, all of that, Buccaneer of the Year, Player of the Year. We will have those prestigious awards. You can see them on our website for the previous winners. And we will hopefully have some special guests in the off-season. And before you know it, it will be football time again, and we'll be doing our preview. So it's been a fantastic year for the Bucks. It's been a fantastic year for Bucks UK, and I think we're happy to say both of those are trending upwards, and we look forward to sharing it with you soon. So thank you, Gary, Wayne and David, and I've been a bit tearful for the last time for a little while. Go Bucks!
Go Bucks!